Each and everyone here today, guests, visitors, we're glad you come out. Our regular folks, glad you come out. Just several announcements and concerns. For first, want to say we're glad that Bruce and Sharon's with us today. Glad y'all could be out today. Been a while, but Bruce is heading in a better direction, and God bless y'all. Many blessings that y'all was able to be out here today. Several concerns here for you. First of all, there was a flip phone found. They found a flip phone, so if you missed the flip phone, let us know. We got one somewhere. If it's my phone, you can have it. I don't want my phone back, but you can have it if it's somebody else's. I think it was Perry, when they found a choir room. Choir room found a flip phone. And there's no contact info in there, so they can't trace it back to anybody. So be aware of that. Also, understand that Zeke Brown got a birthday. You got a birthday, Zeke?
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday, my friend. Zeke's my buddy. I'm going to tell you what, that's a good kid right there. So happy birthday. Give that young man a round of applause. He deserves that. Happy birthday, my friend. How old are you now, Zeke? 13. God bless us all. 3 more years, he'll be on the road. Oh, my. Also, Colin Darnell had a birthday today. He was down at the early service. Had a big crowd down there this morning, but if you see Colin, wish him a happy birthday also. Just a couple of announcements on people on our prayer concerns list. There has been a change for Marshall Culp. Marshall is now home. Okay, he is at home right now. So be aware of that. Marshall is back home. So unless something changes in Tona Fey, hopefully you'll let me know. He's still at home. Because he kind of plays musical places sometimes. But Marshall's back there, and hopefully things will start heading in a better direction for Marshall. Also, Miss Ann Shive has an infection in her leg. She bumped her leg the other week, and she definitely could use some prayers. So be aware of her. And again, remember everybody on our prayer concerns list. We've got a long one. So remember all the folks on prayer concerns. Also, if you have a child that is going into the seventh grade, and if you already have a child in confirmation, we need to see you in a meeting in a few weeks. September 8th, there's going to be a meeting where it's going to be a confirmation meeting. So we're going to be talking about confirmation with everybody. If you have a kid that has not entered into confirmation, you need to come also to that meeting, but just let me or Tini McCullough know that you have a child, grandchild, or whatever. We think we've got our ducks in a row here, but sometimes we forget or what have you. So please let us know if you've got a child that needs to be in confirmation class. It's got to be a rising seventh grader. So if you came out of sixth grade, you're in the seventh grade this year, you're ready to go. Also, the Oregon Senior Citizens Group, they're going to Mayberry up to Mount Airy. They are leaving on the 21st, this Wednesday, leaving at 8 a.m. All the particulars are in there for you. I hope to have a good time. That's a great place to go. The Oregon Men's Group will meet this Thursday, August 22nd. If you haven't been a part of the men's group, we invite you. Come on out and be a part with us. We have a lot of fun. We eat. We do eat. That's mainly the main thing we do. We eat. We have a little devotion. We try to do some projects and stuff. So please come out and be with us for the Oregon Men's Group. Early service, one more next week. That'll be the last one for this year, for the summer. Hope you can come out, invite people out. Appreciate everybody that came out for homecoming. Jesse's Ride's coming up. OKFC, they're going to meet on September 8th. That'll be their first official meeting. Again, our sympathies expressed to the family and friends of Miss Wilma Sales. She passed away this past week on August 14th. She was buried here in the old church cemetery yesterday. And if I understand correctly, and maybe I don't, but I think Wilma will be the last person who will ever be laid to rest in the old graveyard around the old church. I may be wrong on that, but I think that's the case. But just keep Pat and Wendy and the whole family in your prayers. Wilma was our oldest living member, but it's still a shock. No matter what happens, that's still a shock and it's a loss, and they've got a long process ahead of them in grief, so be aware of that. Also, again, children's choir is getting ready to start. Jana needs to know, so if you got kids second to fifth grade, you don't have a date in there yet. You're going to set that up. 8th, so on the 8th of September. And Janet would be happy to have you. What if you just act like you're that age? Can you come then? Okay, so Janet will take anybody and everybody. She said if you act like a second or fifth to the fifth grader, you can come also. So be aware of that. Remember your stewardship. Little money makes a big difference. We're challenged 100 folks. $5 or more extra over and above your regular tithes and offering a week, and we'll meet any budget that we need. We appreciate the response to this so far, but what it costs one person to go to McDonald's, what it costs you to go to lunch at McDonald's one day can make a big, big difference in the life of the church and what we're doing here for Jesus Christ. Anything that maybe we missed, I don't want to miss anything. Well, I guess at this time we'll go to our first hymn, 658. 658. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Almighty and merciful God grant to you, being penitent, pardon and remission of all of your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and comfort of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated if you would. Do we have any children for the children's message today?
Morning. Good morning. How y'all doing? You good? That's good. Good to see everybody. All right, we're going to talk a little bit today about faith. Has anybody ever heard of faith? We talk about it sometimes here in church. Anybody ever hear of faith? Faith is something that we have in God. We talk about it that way a lot, like we have faith in God, right? And guess what? One of the readings that we're going to read in a little bit here talks about faith in the book of Hebrews, and it gives us a list of people who had faith. And it talks about the Old Testament people that had faith, and it talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. It talks about all those people and all the things that they did when they had faith in God, and all the things that God was able to do for them when they had faith in God. Now, what is faith? Does anybody have an idea of what faith could be? Because in that book I'm talking about, it actually talks about that too. And it basically says that faith is knowing that what we hope for is true. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for. And those are pretty big words. But think about it this way. If you hope for something, do you have it? Does anybody hope for anything? What's something that we could hope for? Can you think of anything you could hope for? Like you hope for a sunny day maybe tomorrow so you can play? Hope for what? Yeah, hope that there's no thunderstorms. But is that something that's happening right now that you can have? Not really. But the way that this book talks about it, the book of Hebrews, it says that it's knowing for sure and having assurance and having it that what we hope for is real. And so when we hope in God, when we have faith in God, we know that all of his promises that he tells us are true. Why? Because of all these people that he's come through for in the past, and because he's come through for us. And so I want you to remember that today. Can you remember that? That we can have faith in God because he keeps his promises. He's never made a promise and didn't keep it. Isn't that pretty cool? And so God's the one we can have faith in because he's the only one who always, always keeps his promises. So let's remember to have faith in God because he can never let us down. He's perfect, so he never will. Okay? That sound good? Let's go ahead and pray, and you can get a sucker and go off to children's church, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being a person that we can put our faith in and that never let us down, and we thank you for loving us enough to make us all the promises and always carry through on them and do what you say you will, and help us to put our faith in you. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all, you can get a sucker.
Let's pass the peace to several folks.
Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among you has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked, The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their deeds. Am I God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the people who had a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Let's read responsively from Psalm 119. My soul has longed for your salvation. I have put my hope in your word. You don't have. Which one do you have? One? Okay. We'll skip the psalm. The second reading is a reading from Hebrews. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the heads of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the danger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish when those who were disobedient, because she was given a friendly welcome to the spies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Here ends the readings.
Let's all stand as we're able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Now the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. Let's begin with a short word of prayer. Precious God, we thank you for this day and all that are gathered. We pray today that you would open our hearts and minds to you. Give me the words to say. And Lord, take this and use it for your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at the Hebrews text today. And this is a very rich and deep text. It is, in fact, when I saw last week that this was the beginning of this was the text, I was very excited. One of my favorite pieces of text. But I just want to give you a little bit of background on the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is one that is a kind of a mysterious book, if you will. We don't know who wrote it. Nobody knows. Now, it used to be thought that the Apostle Paul wrote this. I don't think so. Just not going to be. But actually, there are two other folks who have been mentioned by many scholars who they think may have written this book. And both names are, the one is pretty famous. The other one, not quite as much. But it's probably folks you may have heard of. The first name that is mentioned as maybe being attributed to this book is Mary Magdalene, believe it or not. Now, there is a problem with that authorship. Mary Magdalene, being a woman of that day and that age, would not have been educated in the language, in any of this. But probably none of the other disciples were either, except for maybe Luke, maybe one or two others. But she could have dictated it. She could have dictated this book to a scribe, and that was done quite often in the day, somebody who would have known the Greek of the day and been able to do it. But there's somebody else that I kind of think probably was the author of the book, and it seems to make sense. But there's another name that comes up, and you may have heard this name in your readings, the name Apollos. Have you ever heard of Apollos? How many of you ever heard of Apollos? If you've read in especially the 1 Corinthians, you will have heard the name of Apollos. Paul talks about him as being a leader in the early church, ministering, preaching, doing these things. And Apollos might be the guy that wrote it. But here's the thing, it really doesn't matter. It matters what the message is. And it matters that what God is trying to tell us through this text. To get the gist of what we're looking at in our particular text today, this part of it, Hebrews 11, we need to go to actually the beginning of the text, which was our second reading last week. Now, the vicar basically preached my sermon for me, a big part of it, so thank him for that. I should have just stayed home today. Could have took a day off. He hit some really high points there with the children, some really high truths, and really buttressed what we're trying to say today. But the first part of chapter 11 of Hebrews says this. Now faith, And I've got my good old King Jimmy here. In honor of Jimmy Morgan, I got my good King Jimmy. Got it right here. King Jimmy. Love this book. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, does that make sense? Substance of things hoped for, hoping for something. Substance. Substance is this. This is substance. If you don't have no substance, I'm not going to be standing here very long. If there's nothing, there's some substance here. The substance is that pew that you're sitting in. If there wasn't any substance to it, you're just in the air and you're more than likely going to hit the ground. Substance is an organ. That's substance. Pianos, clothes, that's substance. Something you can grab a hold of, that's substance. So how do you hope for substance? And then he goes on. The evidence of things not seen. Now, how can you have evidence of something you haven't seen? Really doesn't make sense. It does when you go a little further. You see, the writer of Hebrews is getting down to some real truths here. Substance and evidence. Substance. Evidence. That means something that maybe somebody has seen. Now, eyewitness accounts are used a lot in trials, murder trials, any kind of robbery trial, whatever. Now, they are learning that eyewitness accounts are not quite as accurate as many people may think, because everybody sees everything in different ways. But yet, eyewitness accounts, evidence, that's evidence. Now, if we could take evidence and we could say, okay, and some of you from an older generation will understand this. Colonel Mustard did it in the library with a candlestick. Now, some of you that grew up a long time ago playing Clue will understand what I'm talking about. So if we could see Colonel Mustard with a candlestick over top of the dead body in the library, that's pretty good evidence. But if you never see it, how do you know? Well, here's the thing. The vicar talked about it. All the people who are mentioned throughout this chapter, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, all the things that have happened over the years. We can even go further than that. David, Solomon. Go a little further. Peter, James, John, all the disciples, Mary Magdalene, Apollos, Augustine, Luther. All of these people, God has done great works in their lives, and their faith shows us substance and evidence. That still doesn't make quite a little sense, does it? But we're going to get to it. Here's the thing. Maybe this can get us down to it a little better. Almost 275 years ago, some Germans who settled in this area decided that they needed a place to worship God in their faith tradition. And they began a church called Zion Lutheran Church, which is now Organ Lutheran Church. And most of you know the story of the name morphed. It's Organ Zion Lutheran Church. You try to tell the home office that and see what you get. They really have a fun time with that one. But these people, not knowing you and I, began a church. They could not know what would be happening on this day almost 275 years later. They had no way of knowing. We're the evidence. We're the substance of their faith. Every one of you is that. Look around. Look to your right and to your left. Just look. That's evidence. That's substance. Everybody here is evidence and substance of the faith of these people. And over the years, this church has had a lot of evidence and a lot of substance. I don't know the entire number, but in the many years that this church has been here, I would, if I were a betting man, I would bet that there have been thousands of people who have been affected by the ministries of this church, who have been baptized into the body of Christ, who have been taught and discipled for years, who have been ministered to by the multiple pastors who have served here through sickness, through death, through financial issues, maybe family issues, whatever it is. I would dare say there have been thousands. That's the evidence and the substance of all those people who came before us. A man named Martin Luther stood in front of the emperor, in front of people who could have killed him, and really, according to what he did, should have killed him. He said, "Here I stand." And now today, there are millions of people who follow the teachings and the understandings of Martin Luther, we being part of that. He couldn't see us. He didn't know us. He couldn't see the millions who are called Lutherans today and have been for many years. He couldn't know that. And actually, I hate to break it to the rest of the church world, if you're a Protestant of some type, you came from Luther too. I hate to break it to you. Some might not know. But all the millions of people, he could not have known. But that's the evidence. We're the evidence. We're the substance. We just buried the oldest saint in this church yesterday. The oldest living member of this church just passed away, Miss Wilma. We just buried her down here. It says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, it calls. You know who the witnesses are? They're the witnesses. Those people over there are the witnesses. The multiple people who have walked through these doors, they're the witnesses. And all of those who have joined Christ in the church triumphant, they are the witnesses of the evidence and the substance of their faith. We're it. Now let's move a little bit forward. Now we've got to quit worrying about this day and this time and all the things that would hinder us. It says this, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." We got to look to him. You know what he's trying to tell us here, the writer, he, she, whoever? They're trying to tell us we got to look forward like they did. We can't see who might be here in 5 years, who might be here in 20 years. If Jesus doesn't come back, I pray there's a church here in another 275 years. They're the evidence and substance of our faith. That's why it's so important that we give of our time, our talents, and everything. It's so important that we follow God. It's so important that we teach and train our children up in this faith. There are a few young folks here today. One day, and I said it to the young folks down at the early service this morning. One day, I hope and I pray that we have planted a firm foundation in you. And that when I am long dead and gone, and so are many of you, that they can sit here and they can see the evidence and substance of our faith, themselves, their children, their grandchildren, maybe even their great-grandchildren. That's the evidence, that's the substance. And then we, at some point, will join that great church triumphant, and we will become one of the great cloud of witnesses. And I can't prove this, But it sounds pretty good. I can just imagine them looking over, cheering us on, watching. That's the faith. That's the substance. That's the evidence. That's why we did the work we did. That's why we served God like we did. That's why we gave like we did. That's why the choir sang like they did. That's why we taught Sunday school. That's why preachers go into calling. That's why the councilmen. That's why everybody did everything they've ever done. And one day we're going to join them. And we'll be that cloud of witnesses with them, cheering on the evidence and the substance. I pray today that we will look back in our faith and we will encourage ourselves. There's a little known story, not well known, in the Old Testament, and I'm going to end with this, of David. Before he really becomes king and all of these things, and Saul is after him during that time period. And David goes to a place called Ziklag. And Ziklag was actually the enemy's camp. This was the enemy's camp in Ziklag. But he went and he stayed there for a while because, hey, we got David out of the way. Maybe we can get a little something done. And while there, he and his men, his warriors, left their families and all in another place where they were staying. And I believe it was the Amalekites who came in and they overran the place where David's family and his men's families were staying. And they laid waste to that area and they took prisoner all of their families, their wives, their children. They took them prisoner and took them back to where the Amalekites were. And it says this, some of David's men wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill David. And David got by himself. And it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know what I think he was doing? Now, I might be wrong, but you know what I think David was doing? We can overcome this. And we can go and we can take back. And you know what they did? They went to the enemy's camp and they took back everything that belonged to them. They went right in and marched in and took it all back. But he had to encourage himself. And I can just imagine that David was saying, I can remember when I was a small boy and I was shepherding my father's sheep and the lion came and was going to kill the sheep. But yet, I killed the lion. The bear came and was going to kill the sheep. But through God's help, I killed the bear and saved the sheep. And then I can only imagine David in his own mind thinking, I was just a young man, probably a teenager, and there was a great giant, a great warrior named Goliath, who nobody wanted to fight. All of the great warriors of the great armies of the Israelites, nobody wanted to go out and face the great champion Goliath. He was undefeatable. You couldn't beat Goliath. But David says, I can remember that a young man went out and faced a giant, a great warrior, a great champion who had killed many with a slingshot. God gave me the ability to slay the giant before me. You see, that's why God has given us these stories. That's why God has let these things come down of Abraham, of Moses, of Enoch, of Noah, Elijah, Joseph, Jacob, and all sorts of people so that we can be strengthened. And that we can strengthen ourselves and encourage ourselves in God. And now finally this. How many times has God come to your rescue? How many times has God intervened? And it may not have been a giant named Goliath. It may not have been a bear or lion in the way. It may not have been an army coming in and overtaking you. It may not have been an emperor that you had to stand in front of, but it was your giant, it was your lion, it was your bear, it was the army in your way. And God came and he helped you. And he moved you. You should encourage yourselves in that. Because what? That is the substance and the evidence of faith. And I pray today that God will move and minister and use this substance and this evidence, and that we will do great and mighty things through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered, in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He held it up for all to see. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup. He blessed it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you in the new covenant for the remission of sins for all. Do this for the remembrance of me." And now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we invite all baptized Christians to join us in this Holy Supper. And we do have a gluten-free option. If you like, we just need to know. You just got to let us know. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace, and lead you unto eternal life. Amen. And now God's face shine upon you and God's grace rest with you. And I pray that God's faith might grow in you as you strengthen your faith each and every day in his promises.